Next case, U.S. v. Beatty, 12-3003. Mr. Gable.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, if it pleases the Court. My name is Thomas Gable. I'm Assistant Federal Public Defender from the Southern District of Illinois. I'm here today on the case of United States of America v. Anthony D. Beatty. Mr. Beatty, back in May of 2011, was stopped in East St. Louis by the police late at night. He had, the car was already stopped. He had stopped behind a vehicle. He had gotten out. He was the passenger. He had walked to the passenger side of the parked vehicle in front of him. Everybody was legally parked. At that time, a wave patrol passed him by, turned around, and was facing Mr. Beatty and the parked car. Mr. Beatty walked back to his vehicle, got into his vehicle. The wave vehicle then proceeded to block Mr. Beatty's vehicle. And here's where the question comes in. The passenger in the wave vehicle, Mr. Lohman, or Officer Lohman, says that
WAVE is an acronym
for a drug enforcement team.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry, Your Honor. And the vehicle was plainly marked. The officers were also wearing jackets saying police. So this was not an undercover operation. And the passenger in the WAVE vehicle, Officer Lohman, says he thought they turned the lights on, or the driver turned the lights on, if he remembered correctly, before they blocked the vehicle. The driver of the vehicle, Officer Hubbard, states that they turned the lights on after they blocked the vehicle in place. And this is key because one of the suspicious activities is the vehicle my client was in started to attempt to back up and then stopped. Obviously, as our condition, he stopped when the lights came on. After the vehicle was stopped, my client initially got out of his parked vehicle. He was ordered back in. Then was gotten out of the vehicle. He was frisked. A bag of marijuana was found. Then the vehicle was searched, and a gun was found. After the gun was found, my client admitted to possessing the weapon. The question becomes whether or not the actual frisk was reasonable and the stop was reasonable. The justification for the stop, in part, was the movement of the car. And we got the person that actually actuated the lights saying he did it after he blocked him in. The person that was riding saying, we did it before, I think, if I remember correctly. Based on the stop, they get my client out, and they do a frisk, in part based on officer safety, because of the, quote, attempt to leave, which our position is obviously didn't happen. During the frisk, they find the marijuana.
Well, we've got factual findings. The district court tells us at least twice that the lights were on before the car attempted to back up and get away.
Yes, sir. And we believe that the court erred because we have the testimony of the two officers, only one officer saying it was that way he thought, and the other one testifying directly it was not that way.
Okay, so district judge has two conflicting stories, picks one. How is it clearly erroneous?
Well, Your Honor, he doesn't have two conflicting stories. He doesn't have one person say, I know it was on.
Well, confidence is not necessarily correlated with accuracy, right?
Correct,
Your Honor. So why can't he choose to believe the passenger rather than the driver?
The passenger says, I think it was, but I'm not sure. The driver, who actually turns it on, says it wasn't. And I think that you have to give more weight to the person that's sure, you know.
So you do have to go with confidence rather than accuracy.
I think in this case.
You have to assume confidence correlates with accuracy.
You have to in this case.
Why in this case and not more generally?
Well, Your Honor.
I'm sure that's the man, Your Honor. We know how often that's wrong.
Yeah. I understand, Your Honor. I would say that the defendant would get the benefit of the doubt. The law of my mind just went blank.
Validity.
But in this case, I think with the two conflicting statements, the defendant would get the benefit of the doubt. That's what we're based on. We've all have seen this type of discussion in courtrooms before, and it's going to go on all the time. When you're in a bad neighborhood at night, officers are looking for legitimate reasons to stop people. And sometimes after they make the stop, then things are found. And only if you have a good stop can you prosecute.
Okay,
so you have to start.
You're implying that the officers made it up, or one of the officers made it up. The district judge found otherwise. So how do we reverse?
I think it was a factual error, Your Honor.
Okay.
And that's what we have to base it on.
Would you agree that if the passenger's testimony is correct, and we had the late night, bad neighborhood, evasion in response to emergency lights, that's suspicious enough to trigger the stop?
The passenger would be Officer Lohman, and even then the testimony on how much of an attempt to back up was not fully developed. So that'd be the question in my mind. The whole thing took very short time. This is not a high-speed chase of any type. Your Honor, I noticed my light's on. I'd like to save some time for rebuttal.
No problem, Mr. Clark.
Good morning, Your Honors. I think that the issue of whether or not the lights were turned on before or after the stop is really not the deciding factor here. I think that there's sufficient evidence to establish that the stop was proper even without regard to the lights.
What else have you got?
Well, you have some very experienced officers here. They've been working in this detail for some time. As the cross-examination of the witnesses indicated, that there were other people in the area. The police focused on the suspicious activity of this individual in going from the red Alero up to the tan vehicle, and then when that person, who turned out to be Mr. Beatty, apparently saw the officers make a U-turn, he then returned to his vehicle very quickly. The officers thought that was suspicious in itself, and they then approached the car, blocked it in, and turned on their lights, according to Mr. Hubbard. As you indicated, Your Honor, the other witness, Officer Lohman, indicated that the lights were turned on as the police vehicle was making a turn. And the review, the standard of review here is for clear error, and you do defer to the credibility findings of the court, the district court, and you reverse only upon a definite and firm conviction that the district court was mistaken. I don't think we have that here. I think we have two officers who had slightly conflicting testimony, but the district court was free to choose one of the two. After the officers had blocked in the red Alero was when the driver of that car attempted to back up and go around the officers. So that gave further impetus to continue to interrogate the individuals inside, and the frisk and search of the vehicle were made, whereupon the gun was found. Your Honor, I don't think any error was made here, and I would ask that the court affirm the district court.
We have no questions, so thank you, Mr. Clark. Mr. Gable, how much time? 2 minutes, Mr. Gable.
Your Honor, the biggest problem I have is there's no articulable statement from the officers about officer safety, the reason they actually patted him down when they got him out of the car. It just wasn't there. The only way they get to that is if there's a fleeing on the behalf of the defendant, and I do not believe that that happened. If there's no questions, Your Honor, that concludes my argument.
All right. We'll take the case under advisement. Thank you to both counsel.